Support this podcast and keep us going. Go to everydaynovelist.com/support to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 716. Today we hear from Roland, who asks,
I recently saw someone worry that they're writing their best idea while they're still new at writing, and wasting it because there are no do-overs with novels. I disagree, particularly with the advent of indie publishing, where you can just start a new pen name and publish a new version of the old concept. Even without considering a new pen name, aren't there some good examples of traditionally published authors who've revisited the same story or concept over time? Have they gotten flack for it?
Of course there are, and of course they haven't. There is, of course, the obvious ones like Robert Ludlum, who only wrote one book. Well, two books, really. He had 50-odd published titles before he died, but he only ever wrote one book. And the one book is the outcast guy who's being manipulated by forces beyond his control who are high up in the government serving a nefarious agenda that's kind of anti-American at the same time. Now, he did actually do a couple interesting spins on it, and his most original books were The Road to Gandolfo and The Road to Omaha, wherein he tried to do it the other way, and it was one guy who was manipulating the bureaucracy, and they wound up being hilarious comedies. You, of course, will know Ludlum if you're a younger person. You'll know Ludlum second or third degree from the Jason Bourne movies, which aren't all that great in terms of adaptations. But the first one, at least, is still a pretty fun movie. But stuff like The Bourne Identity, The Holocroft Covenant, The Scarletti Inheritance. The Scarletti Inheritance and The Holocroft Covenant are almost beat for beat the same. Those are all, I mean, he's got one story. He just tells it really well so he can hold your attention for a while. Michael Crichton kind of has one story as well, which is that, well, no, that's not true. He did have two or three. The one that he revisited over and over was Frankenstein. Jurassic Park, Congo, what was it? Next, Prey, all basically the same story. He also had some more original stuff like the Eaters of the Dead and Westworld and the Andromeda Strain, all were different kinds of things. So he did a few things, but he revisited the same story a number of times in different guises. Raymond Chandler expanded his short story, The Lady in the Lake, and repurposed it. It was originally a short story without Philip Marlowe, as far as I remember correctly, and reworked it into a novel starring Philip Marlowe. Isaac Asimov had a wonderful short story called Nightfall, which he reworked into a novel later on. I did The Man in the Rain, and then later reworked it into a book called The Briggs Defection, which isn't out yet, but hopefully will be this year, this coming year. I mean, not 2019, but 2020. But I think, can you still get Man in the Rain free by signing up for the newsletter?
I think so.
One of my stories free from signing up for the newsletter. I think it's Man in the Rain, but I could be wrong. Let's see. Ender's Game, Flowers for Algernon, Canticle for Leibowitz were all short stories that were expanded into novels, as was Ted Kosmakta's The Prophet of Bones. Christine Catherine Rush has talked publicly about how her book Hitler's Angel was at least the third time she's tried to write that story. She won't say what the other two were because they're so different that you wouldn't really guess at a casual glance. Millennium by John Varley was expanded from a short story. Most everything Philip K. Dick did was the same story. Almost everything that J.R.R. Tolkien did was the same two or three stories. Joss Whedon, now we're getting into screenplay territory here, but if you watch Alien Resurrection, it was the second and worst attempt that Joss Whedon made to write that story. The first and best attempt was an animated film called Titan A.E., and of course most people are familiar with that story under the name Firefly. But they are all the same story, with all the same characters, little bits and pieces moved around. He was obviously trying to get right something that he really cared about. And of course, my favorite example of this, because it is such a wonderful example of iterative storytelling, were the four versions of Heinlein's self-creating time loop paradox. The first was by his bootstraps. The second was All You Zombies, which, by the way, is adapted into a film called Predestination starring Ethan Hawke, which was fantastic. The third was a novel called The Door into Summer. And the fourth, he never finished. He died in the middle of writing it. But it would have been the story cycle beginning with... let's see if I can remember all the pieces in it. The story cycle starting with his novel Red Planet, then moving to Methuselah's Children, then to Time Enough for Love, then to The Number of the Beast, then The Cat Who Walks Through Walls, then to Sail Beyond the Sunset, and then to the last novel that he was getting ready to write when he died. And that whole story arc is a time loop wherein eventually what would have happened is the heroes would have accidentally traveled back in time and become the pagan gods of Greece and Mesopotamia and created the universe. But all of the bad guys in that cycle are future versions of the good guys attempting to undo their previous time-traveling mistakes. So, again, all of that would have come out in the finish, and I only know about it because I'm a bit of an obsessive Heinlein nut, and I've read deep into William Patterson's notes that didn't make it into the biography. But you can find some scattered stuff about that in the Heinlein archives and in the Heinlein forum, where Bill Patterson used to post a lot before he died when he was doing his research. So those are a lot of examples, and there's loads and loads and loads more. Let's see, Stephen R. Donaldson has revisited this twice at least, his basic story twice. The Thomas Covenant series and the Gap Cycle are roughly the same story worked over in very different ways, especially the Last Chronicles of Thomas Covenant. And, what else? I mean, it happens all the time. This is a really common thing, which is one of the reasons that the notion that ideas are precious and you only get one shot at each is so toxic, because the normal creative process is iterative, and people do frequently revisit stuff that they've done before. You can see it all the time in music, especially late 20th century pop music and classical music and jazz. Reworking and iterating and playing with things is the way that creativity works. And the fetishization of interesting ideas is an artifact of two centuries of living in a society that is evolving technologically fairly rapidly. And you get something that sociologists call neomania, which is where if it's new, it must be good. And so it's been the job of successful artists to dress up old stuff as new stuff, because there actually isn't much that's really genuinely new. There's just a lot of people who are deeply ignorant of history and all the things that go with it. So, but it's a really toxic idea for young artists, because it is not possible to create de novo. Humans don't do that. Humans, like all living systems, are recombinatory machines. We riff on stuff that's existed before, and sometimes those riffs break new ground and open entire new fields to cultivate culturally, creatively. And most of the time they don't. But sometimes those groundbreaking works get lost. Like the guy that was either an English guy or a French guy that basically established all the tropes in science fiction. No one can even remember his name. I can't even remember his name, and I've studied him. But before Jules Verne and H.G. Wells, he came up with ray guns and interstellar flight and transportation and aliens and the whole bit. And even before that, Cyrano de Bergerac, you know, the guy that wrote Cyrano de Bergerac, did a science fiction story about aliens and interstellar travel. And, I mean, there really is nothing new. It's just new ways of expressing. And if you lock yourself into having to have the great idea, you're basically dealing yourself out of the game. It just won't happen. Because it doesn't exist. Thanks very much for the question, and I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian, and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners. Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.